بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our eighth session, reading from the commentaries, primarily the Mukhtasar, summarized commentary of Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, حفظه الله, related to the Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyah by Al-Imam Abu Ja'far Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Salama Al-Tahawi rahimahullah. Last week, we looked at the 13th point, and I mentioned at that time that the 13th point has been divided into three points by Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, and each part of it is explained separately. And what follows is primarily further explanation and elaboration on that point. So we did cover the 13th point, and that which follows, we didn't cover. So tonight, بإذن الله تعالى, we're going to look at the remaining points. That's from this first section of Al-Aqidah, Al-Tahawiyah, dealing with the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mentioning some of His Asma al-Husna, and mentioning some of His Sifat, His divine qualities or characteristics. But before we look at the remaining points related to specifically to the Tawheed of Allah, let's quickly review the modified questionnaire study guide for lecture number 7. First question being, what is the 13th statement of the author, Al-Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, as it relates to the Sifat of Allah? The 13th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi as it relates to the Sifat of Allah. And there's a note here that says, this statement, yani number 13, is numbered as 16, 17, and 18 in three parts in the Arabic commentary of Sheikh Salih Fawzan. And it is numbered as 15, 16, and 17 in the English. So the person is reading from the English translation. This 13th statement is going to be numbered now. Oh, you want to answer?
I was going to read it.
Okay, but I just want to clarify because, this number system is very troublesome. If a person is reading from the English translation of Sheikh Salih Fawzan, it will be numbered as 15, 16, and 17. If a person is reading from Arabic, then it will be numbered as 16, 17, and 18. So, what is the 13th statement of the author, Al-Imam al-Tahawi, as it relates to the Sifat of Allah? Ahmed.
ما زال بصفاته قديما قبل خلقه لم يزداد بكونهم شيئا لم يكن قبلهم من صفاته
صفته singular
وكما كان بصفاته أزلا
أزليا
كذلك لا يزال عليها أبديا.
طيب, so this is the full text of the 13th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi. And as we mentioned earlier, Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan in his explanation has divided each part of that statement, and he's divided into three parts, and he's explained each of them separately. So, as far as this 13th statement, what is the meaning? Somebody else, tell us, what is the meaning? And what he just read to us is the actual Arabic text of Imam al-Tahawi. So what is the meaning of this statement? Anybody? Yes, Muhammad.
That he has existed with his timeless attributes before his creation.
Okay, he existed his time as before his creation.
Yeah, so he was.
But let me just stop here, though.
Yeah.
the translation here is a little bit, and it's adding some stuff there that may throw a person off. Okay, but what we want to say is that Allah always existed, with His sifat, from the beginning, always, eternally, before He created anything. So that's the core of the meaning, that Allah always had these characteristics and qualities that the translator here has named timeless. And timeless meaning there's no beginning to them and no end. So just for clarification now. After that. And that's the first statement that Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan explains. Now.
And his creation did not add anything to his essence that wasn't already there.
His creation meaning his creating the creation. His act of creating the creation didn't add anything in terms of his qualities and characteristics that wasn't already there. Yani, no new, nothing new came in terms of his qualifications or yani, descriptions or qualities. Nothing new came by the act of him creating the creation. Now, and then the last part?
As his attributes were before his creation, and so they'll continue after his creation is,
Okay, so just as he had these qualities and characteristics, yani, eternally, from yani, forever, he always did, so likewise he always will have these qualities, these characteristics and descriptions. Yani, he always had them and he always will have them. So this entire statement here, the Shaykh has divided into three parts and he has explained each one. And then what follows that we're going to cover tonight is all elaboration, pretty much, and clarification of this 13th statement. Question number two. Mention the first of three points which Sheikh Salih Fawzan has divided this into. The first of three points that he has divided this into. What is the first point? Abdul Wali.
That Allah has his sifat before he created the creatures.
Allah had his sifat before he created the creatures. Before he created the creation, he was already, yani, described with these sifat. Naam. He already had them before the creation. Yani, his bringing something into creation wasn't the beginning of him being described as creator or other than that. Naam. The third question, mentioned briefly the deviant aqidah that Imam At-Tahawi is addressing in this statement. Yani, who is he refuting in this statement when he says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always had these qualities and characteristics even before he created the creation? Who is he refuting? Yeah. And what is the aqidah that he is refuting? What did they believe? Okay, so that's specific, and in general, Imam At-Tahawi is saying that their belief that there was a time when Allah didn't have these sifat. Their belief is that there was a time when Allah didn't have these sifat. Whether it's the characteristics of creation, or whether it's giving life, or causing death, or whatever it is, they believe that He didn't always have these. And then a time came when He had them. And more specifically, yani, he talks about yani, creation and other than that. Now, Tayyib, question number four. What is the false conclusion that they claim will result from acknowledging Allah's sifat as being azali? Yani, what if they acknowledge that Allah always had these sifat, yani, that He had them before anything, He always had them as long, yani, forever, eternally. So what is the false conclusion that they claim, yani, would result from acknowledging Allah's eternal sifat? Adam.
With, so they don't have to like they don't have to acknowledge many gods. Yani, they believe that Allah, because He has more sifat, that He's yani more than one. Or
it's as though these sifat are separate from Allah, that they are yani entities in and of themselves. And so, if they acknowledge that Allah has many sifat eternally, then that means that each one of them would be like a god, separate, that would be equal to Allah, as the Shaykh said, that they would be sharika, yani that they would be partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His characteristic of being eternal, because they are also eternal. Yani, as though these sifats of Allah are separate from Him, that they are entities, yani, separate from Allah, they are not integral, yani, essential part of Allah Himself, of His that. Now, The fifth question, what does their false belief lead them to wrongly attribute to Allah? What did the Shaykh said that holding that belief that Allah didn't always have these sifat and then later on at some point He had these sifat, what does this, can He force them to attribute to Allah? What is the false, yani, attribution that is concluded from that? No.
Well, I mean, I don't know what was said, but I could say that it's saying that basically things can add or subtract from Allah's sifat, like depending on, you know.
Okay, actually, the point that we want to get to is exactly what the Shaykh said, because it's a very important point. There are lots of conclusions that can be drawn from this. But there's one critical conclusion in terms of the subject that we're talking about, of Allah's perfection and His divinity. Yani, them saying that Allah didn't have these sifat, yani, always, and then later on He had them, is attributing to Allah what? None. Now Allah is naqisa. that he was defective at one time when he wasn't all knowing and all seeing, and yani he didn't have these characteristics and qualities of hearing and giving life, then he was defective. They are saying that he was defective at one time, and then he kamula, and then he became perfected when he was giving the, when he attained these qualities and characteristics. So this idea that it's possible to attribute to Allah that at one time, at one point, he was without these qualities, these characteristics of perfection. That means he was imperfect. Then this is sufficient for a person to know that this idea is absolutely wrong. So the Shaykh bringing out this point, yani the point is to show, and even logically, not necessarily in looking at the revelation, but even logically, like how can you attribute this to Allah? That there was a time when he didn't have the characteristics of perfection. What does that mean then? What does that mean then? Question number 6. What is the problem with the line of thinking that led them to their false belief concerning the sifat of Allah? Yani, what is the problem or the defect in their line of thinking that led them to the false belief concerning Allah's sifat? And what was it that made them come to this false conclusion? Naam, Zakaria. Okay, the in terms of their manhaj, their methodology, that they didn't go back to the Quran and Sunnah. Naam. But their line of thinking that was defective, that was wrong, that caused them to conclude that Allah didn't always have these characteristics of perfection. Their line of thinking, yani, was that if they attributed these divine qualities to Allah eternally, then these divine qualities in their mind are entities separate and independent of Allah that then would become equal to Allah. And they are also eternal like Allah. And so the defect in their thinking is that they made the sifat of Allah separate from Allah Himself. That was the defect in their thinking. They didn't comprehend that the sifat of Allah are not something separate from Allah, independent. And therefore, they felt a need then to divorce them of this characteristic of eternity, of being eternal, which in their line of thinking meant that they would be equal to Allah. Tayyib, question number 7. Mention the principle of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah concerning the sifat of Allah and his that. The principle that Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, not mentioned in the book, but we mentioned it from some other side notes, very important principle, and it helps us a lot in this particular topic. Naam, Ahmed.
Al-qawl fi al-sifat, kal-qawl fi al-dhat.
Naam. What is the meaning of al-qawl fi al-sifat, al-qawl fi al-dhat? Naam, Talib.
We say that the saying about these two, that they have always existed, and there is nothing like Allah in
that they have always existed, and there is nothing like Allah in His entirety. Okay, that's true. But the actual meaning of his statement and the point yani, that we are looking at here is al-qawl fi sifat, meaning what we say, literally. The intended meaning of what we believe, what we say and what we believe about the sifat of Allah is the same as what we say concerning Allah's that. If we say Allah's that, His self, His divine being, is eternal, we say the same thing about His sifat. Because they are inseparable. They are not two different things. So whatever we say about Allah, and Allah's divine being, His self, His that, so we say the same thing about His sifat. So that's a rule that protects a person from any saying, whatever, if we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His that, He's divine. And it's unlike any other being, human beings, animal, any created being. So the same thing we say about His sifat. And the created beings have sifat as well. But just like we say they are not like Allah's that, the wat of the created beings are not like Allah's that, so likewise we say the same thing, that their sifat are not like Allah's sifat. That's the point that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah is making here. And maybe we'll talk about it a little bit further, but let's finish the questions. Question number 8 mentioned the second of the 3 points which Sheikh Saleh Fawzan has divided the statement into. The second point that he has taken from the original statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi. Naam, Abdul Wali.
There was no increase in this effect because of the creation.
Naam. there's no increase, yani, in Allah's sifat that came about after the creation. Yani, he created the creation and therefore there's some increase. No, the sifat that he had before he created the creation, yani, are the same sifat that he had after. And the last question mentioned the third of 3 points which Sheikh Saleh Fawzan has divided the statement into. Naam.
He will continue to have these sifat.
He will continue. Yani, just as he always had them, so likewise in the same way he will always have them. Yani, just as they are azali, so they are also abadi. Naam. So, yani, last week we spent a lot of time dealing with this particular point, and there's no doubt that there's benefit in what Al-Imam al-Tahawi has mentioned here because it brings clarity in case any confusion came to a person. If they understand this, then yani, it is a protection. A person doesn't have to know all the deviant beliefs that people who associate, who identify with Islam or other than them have. A person doesn't know, have to know all the deviant beliefs. But if a person knows what's correct, then they will be protected from that which is incorrect, because they will know that it doesn't coincide with what is correct. So I did want to mention briefly I wanted to go back just briefly to the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, al-qawl fi sifat, al-qawl fi that. When we read last week his statement, he mentions in that statement the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, laysa kamithlihi shay'un wa huwa as-sami' al-basir. So the first part of that ayat, laysa kamithlihi shay'un, that there is nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said this means there is nothing like him in terms of his that, his divine being. No other being is like him. In terms of his sifat, his qualities and characteristics, in terms of his actions, and all of that. Everything that is related to Allah, there's nothing like him in any of those things. Not in his that, not in his sifat, not in his asma, not in his af'al. There's nothing like him in any of that. Yani, Allah's actions are different than the actions of created beings. His characteristics and qualities are different than the characteristics and qualities of the created beings. And his names, yani, as they apply to him, are different. Yani, people can have, can share the, yani, the wording of the names of Allah. Yani, a person's name could be Malik, could be Hakim, could be Alim, but any of those names as they apply to Allah, yani, they don't apply, it's not the same as they apply to human beings. And one of the differences, as the scholars mentioned from the Qawaid of Asma al-Sifat, is that the names of Allah are not only titles that he is referred to by, but they're also descriptions. Whereas the names of the people, yani, they may not have any relation to the description that is in that name. They might not at all be wise or powerful or merciful or any of that. So the names of Allah, yani, are different than the names of the human beings in that sense. The reality of them is different. Tonight, inshallah, we want to look at the remaining points that are in this final, this first section related to the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that will be point number 14, 15 and 16 and 17. 14, 15, 16 and 17. And so, as far as point number 14, Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, has divided into 2 points. And he has numbered them in the Arabic text of his book as 19 and 20. If somebody's reading from Arabic, it should be point 19 and 20 that we're looking at. If they're reading from English, it will be one number behind that. It will be 18 and 19. Point number 14. Al-Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, says, لَيْسَ بَعْدَ خَلْقِ الْخَلْقِ اِسْتِفَادَ اِسْمَ الْخَالِقِ لَيْسَ بَعْدَ خَلْقِ الْخَلْقِ. Yani, it wasn't It's not after he created the creation that he is entitled to the name Al-Khaliq. So this is an elaboration on what was mentioned earlier. Yani, that he didn't become entitled to the name Khaliq after he, yani, engaged in the action of creating anything. And the Shaykh, he doesn't discuss this, he just has a tawdih, فَتِكْرَى لِمَا سَبَقَ. Yani, this is just clarification. And, yani, a repetition of what has been mentioned previously. Yani, it was not only after he created the creation that he was entitled to be named Al-Khaliq. And the second part of this statement, which is numbered in Arabic 20 and 19 in English, وَلَا بِإِحْدَاثِ الْبَرِيَّةِ إِسْتَفَادَ إِسْمَ الْبَارِ. And it was not only after bringing the creation into existence. It was not only after originating the creation that he was entitled to the name Al-Bari. So this is very similar to the previous yani statement that we just read. It's very similar and it's attached to it. Except that here, Al-Imam Al-Tahawi is mentioning two of the names of Allah, Al-Khaliq and Al-Bari. And these are names that are confirmed in the Quran. The Shaykh says, من أسماء الله عز وجل الباري. Yani from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from those names is الباري. Yani الخالق. Yani the meaning of الباري, الخالق, the creator. برا الخلق يعني خلقهم. Yani Allah originating the creation, bringing something unique into existence that didn't previously exist. The meaning here is خلقهم, that he created them. So he is also from his names, فهو الباري. وهذا الاسم ملازم لذاته ليس له بداية. So the Shaykh, he says here, so this name of Allah الباري, it is ملازم, yani inseparable from his that, from Allah's divine being, from his himself. It's inseparable. ليس له بداية. It doesn't have a beginning. Yani it was always with Allah. This name and the quality or characteristic that it represents, yani, of being the one who originates or brings something unique into existence that didn't previously exist. The next point is point number 15. Point number 15. And here again, Shaykh Salih Fazan, he has numbered it in the Arabic text 21, and in the English it's numbered as 20. لَهُ مَعْنَى الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ وَلَا مَرْبُوبَ وَمَعْنَى الْخَالِقِ وَلَا مَخْلُوقِ. Yani that Allah had the quality or the characteristic of الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ. Yani this is the sifa, the quality or characteristic that comes from Allah's name. Which name? Which name of Allah does this represent? Rabb. Naam. Ar-Rububiyyah is the sifa, the quality or characteristic that comes from the name Ar-Rabb. So he said, لَهُ مَعْنَى الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ وَلَا مَرْبُوبِ. And he had this quality or this characteristic of Rububiyyah when there was nothing that needed to be nourished or sustained or attended to. When there was no marbub, nothing that he was rub over. He already had this characteristic or quality and this name. And he also had the characteristic or quality of being the Khalid when there was yani no created thing, when there was nothing that he had created at that point. So again, this is elaboration of what he has said before, and the meaning here is that Allah, his quality or characteristic of rububiyyah, yani, and his quality or characteristic of creating, yani, these were qualities and characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before there was anything for him to be the rub over or anything that he had created. So the point is what? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eternally had these qualities and characteristics. Eternally. He always had them. The next it's point number 16, and in the Arabic, it's Sheikh Salih Fazan's commentary is 22, and the English 21. is Al-Imam al-Tahawi, his statement, وَكَمَا أَنَّهُ مُحْيِ الْمَوْتَى بَعْدَمَا أَحْيَى إِسْتَحَقَ هَذَا الْإِسْمِ إِسْتَحَقَ هَذَا الْإِسْمِ قَبْلَ إِحْيَائِهِمْ وَكَذَلِكَ إِسْتَحَقَ إِسْمَ الْخَالِقِ قَبْلَ إِنْشَائِهِمْ. Yani just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is or has the right to be named or to be described as Muhyi al-Mawta, yani the one who gives life to the dead, just as he has the right to be named or qualified with this description after he has given life. اِسْتَحَقَّ هَذَا الْإِسْمِ قَبْلَ إِحْيَائِهِمْ. So he also had a right, he is entitled to be yani named with this name and described with this quality even before he gave life to anything in the creation. وَكَذَلِكَ اِسْتَحَقَّ إِسْمِ الْخَالِقِ قَبْلَ إِنْشَائِهِمْ. And he also is entitled to the name Al-Khaliq before bringing anything into existence, before creating anything. So in these points here, he has mentioned several things. He mentioned Allah being entitled to the name Al-Khaliq and Al-Bari and Al-Rab and Muhyi al-Mawta, yani, and these descriptions that go with them, even before he created anything, if before he originated anything, before there was any creation or anything, for him to be the Rab over, before he had given life to anything that was dead. All of these are names, and these are descriptions, these are names or descriptions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was entitled to, even before yani doing any of these actions that are connected to them. The Shaykh Salih Fawzan here, he says, كَمَا أَنَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ يُوصَفْ بِكَوْنِهِ مُحْيِ الْمَوْتَ فِي الْأَزَلِ وَبِأَنَّهُ يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتْ وَلَا يَكُونُ هَذَا الْوَصْفِ مَعَدُومًا حَتَّى يَكُونَ أَحْيَى الْمَوْتَى وَإِنَّمَا هَذَا لَهُ مِنَ الْقَدِيمِ وَالْأَزَلِ وَأَمَّا أَحْيَى الْمَوْتَى فَهَذَا مُتَجَدِّدْ أَحْيَى وَيُحْيِي سُبْحَانَهُ إِذَا شَاءَ. So just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he is described as being the one who gives life to the dead, just as he is described with this description, yani has always been described with this description, fil azali, yani qadiman, azaliyan. And also, yani he is described as giving life and causing death. He has always been described as giving life and causing death. He was described with that before he did it, and he continues to be described with it. Meaning, there wasn't any time in which this description was absent, non-existent for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he was only described with it after he gave life to the dead. There wasn't any time when this description was ma'aduman, when it was absent, it didn't exist. And then only he was described with it after he had given life to the dead. Rather, this description was with him, he was entitled to it, yani min al-qadim wal-azali, yani eternally. And then the Shaykh, he says, and he alluded to this point previously, last week we mentioned similar to this, wa amma ihya al-mawta, as far as his action, yani from time to time, at any time that he wills, of giving life to the dead, fahadha mutajaddid. This is something that recurs again and again and again. And he was always described with this description, but his action of giving life to the dead is something that occurs again and again and again. And he does it. He says he gave life, and he also gives life idha sha'a. And here the Shaykh is alluding to the principle that Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen and the scholars of the past have mentioned about the will of Allah. And we said that the sifat of Allah have different ways that they are categorized. So from amongst the categories of the sifat of Allah, we said that there are sifat thubutiyah and sifat salbiyah. What does that mean? Sifat thubutiyah and salbiyah, huh?
Yani thabit, yani it's
ground. It's like
Thabit. Okay.
Like it can't change. Like it can't. It's like not can't change.
Close. Let's go. Imam. Things that we affirm for Allah and things that we negate from Allah. And we affirm certain qualities for Allah. And we negate. We say Allah doesn't sleep. Allah doesn't die. That's negation. Those are sifat salbiya. Things that we negate from Allah. And then there are sifat salbiya that we normally think about. When we think of the sifat of Allah, salbiya, what we affirm for Allah. So the scholars say that the sifat of Allah are divided into those qualities or characteristics or descriptions that we affirm as being qualities of Allah. And they are those which we negate. These are not qualities or descriptions of Allah. As far as those which we affirm, they said they are divided into two categories also. And they are, yani, ذاتية and فعلية. And we talked about that last week. So this we're supposed to remember. As far as ثبوتية and سلبية, maybe we forgot that from حقيدة وسطية, long time ago. Now, oh, okay. Yeah, thank you. Jazakallah khair. So, yani, the sifat, thubutiya, are those which we affirm for Allah. We say these are His qualities and characteristics. Yani, He hears and He sees and He speaks and He knows and He's powerful. We affirm that for Allah. As far as sifat, as-salbiya, these are those things which we negate from Allah. We negate them. We say Allah doesn't sleep. Allah doesn't die. Allah doesn't do injustice. We negate that from Allah. And as far as the thubutiyah, we said, okay, so they may also be looked at from another perspective, from another angle, and that is those which are sifat dhatiyah, related to His that, His divine being, Himself. And there are sifat fi'liyah, that are related to His His actions. Fi'liyah, yani fi'l, actions. And last week we mentioned from Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, I read from Al-Qawad al-Muthla, that he said that the sifat, thatiyah, are those which are inseparable from His, yani thatiyah, they're inseparable from His that. Yani they're inseparable from Him. He always was and always will be described with them. As far as sifat al-fi'liyah, we said that there are those actions of Allah that are connected to His mashiyah. And that He does whatever He wills, whenever He wills, however He wills. They are connected to His irada. What He does, if and when and how He wills. So Allah, having the quality of being all-knowing, is not connected to His will, that He's all-knowing if He wills, when He wills. No, it's like inseparable. That's a description that's inseparable. Alright, so the difference is the sifat fi'liya are connected to His irada, and that's what the Shaykh, that long discussion is related to what the Shaykh says here, that أحيَى, He gave life, وَيُحْيِي, He gives life, سُبْحَانَهُ إِذَا شَاءَ. And this is something from His actions that He does if He wills, when He wills, however He wills. Alright, that's the point really, because we talked about it last week, I wanted to make sure that it's very important to understand some of these principles. And if a person is not familiar with them, hearing it one time might not be sufficient, right? So this is yani the muraja'ah. If you memorize juz of Quran and you don't do muraja'ah, what happens? You human being, you forget. You forget. Tayyib. Sifat fi'liyah are those which are connected to His mashiyah, His will. He does whatever He wills, whenever He wills, however He wills. The next point the Shaykh mentions is point number 17. And point number 17 the Shaykh has divided into 5 points, I think. So they are numbered in Arabic, 23, 24, 25, 26, and 27. And in English, yani 22 to 26. And this is, the Shaykh, he closes here, yani, from, yani, and he closes what was mentioned previously by saying, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Yani, that which has been mentioned previously, is based on the fact that he has power over everything, that he has the ability to do everything. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ إِلَيْهِ فَقِيرٌ. And everything in the creation is in need of him, is faqir, in need of him, cannot live without him. وَكُلُّ أَمْرٍ عَلَيْهِ يَصِيرٌ. And every matter or every affair for Allah is easy. لَا يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى شَيْءٍ. He is not in need of anything. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing like him, and he is as-sami', the one who is all-hearing, and basir, the one who is all-seeing. So this is the final statement, yani, of for now, yani, before we go into the discussion of al-qadha and qadha, the divine decree. So as far as the first part of this statement 17, again, the Shaykh divided into five parts. The first part, he says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. هَذَا الْوَصْفُ هَذَا وَصْفٌ أَزَلِيٌّ. Yani, this is a description of Allah, of Him having power over everything, is a description that is an eternal description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He always was described with, that He has the ability to do everything. It is not to be said that He has attained or obtained al-qudra, power and ability, that He didn't have it illa ba'da an khalaqa wa awjada al-makhluqat. And we should not say, we don't say, it is not proper to say that Allah's qudra, His power, His ability was only achieved after He created or brought yani things into creation. Bal al-qudra sifatun azaliyya. Rather, al-qudra, this quality or characteristic of Allah, that He has power, that He has the ability to do everything, is an eternal quality or characteristic of Allah. Sifa azaliyya. وَإِنَّمَا كَوْنُهُ أَوْجَدَ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ فَهَذَا أَثَرٌ نَاتِجٌ مِنْ كَوْنِهِ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. As far as Him actually, and His action of bringing the creation into existence, then this is the effect that resulted from Him having the ability to do everything. Him bringing things into existence is just the effect of His power and His ability to do everything. So He brought things into existence. وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الَّذِي وَصَفَ نَفْسَهُ بِأَنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ مِنَ الْمَوْجُودَاتِ وَالْمَعْدُومَاتِ لَمْ يُقَيِّدْ قُدْرَتُهُ بِشَيْءٍ مُعَيِّنٍ لا يعجزه شيء ولا يجوز التقييد بأنه قدير على كذا. So the Shaykh, he says here, so this description, this wasf, this description, Allah Himself, He is the one who has described Himself like this, that He has the power and the ability to do everything. Whether it is in reference to those things which exist or those things that do not exist, Allah has power over everything. He didn't restrict His ability to something specific, شَيْءٍ مُعَيِّنٍ. He didn't say that He has ability to do this, that, or the other. And nothing is impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing renders Him incapable. Nothing is impossible for Him to do. And it is not permissible, the Shaykh said, لَا يَجُوز التَّقْيِيد بِأَنَّهُ كَدِيرٌ عَلَى كَذَرٍ. And it's not permissible to restrict Allah's power, His ability to anything particular, to limit it to anything. And it is not to be said, إِنَّهُ عَلَى مَا يَشَاءُ قَدِيرٌ, that He is upon whatever He wills, He is able to do whatever He wills. And I don't want to go into any detail here, but I'll just say what the Shaykh said. And there's, on this expression being used in this particular manner, there's some other discussion concerning this. But what is intended here is clear. And what is intended here? And the Shaykh is saying that it should not be said that Allah is ala ma yasha'u qadir, that He's only able to do what He wills. That's what is intended here is to limit Allah's ability to what He wills. So if He doesn't will, then He doesn't have the ability. That's the point that he's making. إِنَّمَا هَذَا يعني this type, this statement, يعني that's similar to this. Not exactly عَلَى مَا يَشَاءَ قَضِيَةً, but the statement that's similar to this, it came in the Qur'an. He said, إِنَّمَا هَذَا خَاصٌ بِجَمْعِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لِأَهْلِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. يعني that this is specific. It is particular to Allah bringing the people together, the people of the heavens and the earth, the creatures of the heavens and earth, bringing them together on Yawm al-Qiyamah. At that time, on the day of resurrection, if Allah wills, He has the ability to bring them together. If He wills, He will bring them together. The meaning is, it's not that He has only the ability if He wills. It means that His action at that time is based on His will. If He wills to do it, He'll do it. And if He doesn't will to do, He won't do it. We know that He will do it because He said He will do it. But otherwise, the point here is what? That if Allah wills at that time, yani because His actions, Allah's actions are connected to His Mashiach, to His irada, to His will. And He does them if He wills, when He wills, however He wills. So if He wills at that time or any time in the future, if He wills to do something, He will do it. That's what is intended here. It's not intended to limit His ability to what He wills. Rather, the point here in this ayat is, at that time, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, if He wills to bring the people, to gather the people together, the heavens and the earth, then He will do so. He has the ability to do so. If He wills to do it at that time, He will do it. So he mentions the ayah from the Qur'an. He says that the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَثَّ فِيهِمَا مِنْ دَابَةٍ وَهُوَ عَلَى جَمْعِهِمْ إِذَا يَشَاءُ قَدِيرٌ. That from the signs of Allah's power and His greatness and His ability is His creation of the heavens and the earth. And that's an indication of Allah's ability. He created the heavens and the earth. وَمَا بَثَّ فِيهِمَا مِنْ دَابَةٍ. And the creatures that He placed in the heavens and the earth. وَهُوَ عَلَى جَمْعِهِمْ. And He is able to gather them together, meaning the creatures that He created, the heavens and in the earth, He's able to gather them together. إِذَا شَاءَ, if He wills. And He will do that if He wills. That's the meaning of the ayat. Yani that not that His ability is limited, but rather, yani He's able to do it. And if He wills, He will do it. And this is mentioned in Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd Surah, 29th ayat. وَهَذِهِ قَضِيَةٌ مُعَيِّنَةٌ. And He said that this is a, yani this is, yani this ayat is in reference to a specific event. A specific event. Yani something that will take place in the future. And we know that. Yani Allah's actions are connected to His will, to His irada, or His Mashiach. Okay, so this is the statement of the Imam, ذَلَكَ بِأَنُّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Allah is able to do everything. وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ إِلَيْهِ فَخِيرٌ. He is able to do everything, and everything in existence is in need of Him, is faqir. Everything in the existence is in need of Him. Everything in the universe is faqir, is in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaykh says, لَا شَيْءَ يُمْكِنُ أَنْ يَسْتَغْنِي عَنِ اللَّهِ. And there is nothing in the existence, in the heavens and the earth, that's possible to be free of need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not possible for anything in existence to be free of need of Allah. لَا مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَلَا السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَا الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ وَلَا الْجَمَادَاتِ مِنَ الْجِبَالِ وَالْبِحَارِ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ فَقِيرٌ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Yani, so there's nothing He's in existence that can be free of need of, that is free of, yani, being in need of Allah, not from the angels, or the heavens and the earth, or the jinn, or the human beings, or inanimate things like mountains and rivers. Or rivers. Bihar is seas, huh? Seas, yeah, seas. Nahar is rivers. These words, the old brains can't retain them, brother. Allah musta'an. Kullu shayin faqir. Everything is in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fatir, 35th Surah, 15th Ayat. Ya ayyuhan nas antumul fuqara'u ila Allahi wallahu al-ghaniyu al-hamid. That all people, indeed all of you, are in need of faqir, fuqara'. Are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while Allah He is Al-Ghani Al-Hamid. He is both free of need of anything or anyone, and he is also praiseworthy, worthy of praise. Sheikh says, so everything is in need of Allah. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ إِلَيْهِ فَقِيرٌ. Neither the awliya, yani the people of iman and taqwa, the people who have iman and taqwa, the awliya of Allah, nor the samawat, the heavens, nothing that exists except that is in need of Allah. And then the shaykh, he says, he alludes to one of the deviant beliefs of the people who identify with Islam, and perhaps people who, any outside of Islam as well, also have strange any ideas. He said, وَمَنْ يَقُولُ إِنَّ الْأَوْلِيَاءَ لَهُمْ قُدْرَةٌ غَيْرَ قُدْرَةُ الْبَشَرِ. He said, those who say that the awliya of Allah, yani because of their special status, yani they call them the saints or whatever, yani these people that have special powers and stuff, and he said, at least according to the people of innovation, he said the awliya, some people said the awliya, they have a qudra, they have ability other than the normal natural human abilities. Yani they have supernatural abilities. They can do stuff other human beings can't do. وَإِنَّهُمْ يَتَصَرَّفُونَ فِي الْقَوْمِ. And they actually have the ability, yani, to control some of the affairs in the universe. وَإِنَّهُمْ يَنْفَعُونَ وَيَضُرُّونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. And they are able to benefit and to harm to the exclusion of Allah. Yani, they independently can benefit. And they independently can harm. Yani, that, you know, they're outside of Allah's control, yani, over the universe. فَذَلِكَ مِنْ قَوْلَ الْكَفَرَ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ. He said, this is the statement, this is the view, this is the opinion, or the way of the disbelievers and the pagans. فَلَيْسَ لِلْأَوْلِيَا وَالرُّسُلُ وَالْمَلَائِكَ غِنَى عَنِ اللَّهِ وَلَا التَّصَرُّفُ وَلَا تَصَرُّفٌ فِي دُونِهِ أَمِنْ دُونِهِ. He said, so neither the awliya of Allah, not even the messengers or the angels are free of need of Allah. And they don't have independent, yani, free disposal to do whatever they want to do, yani, aside from Allah, independent of Allah. Rather, everything in the universe is in need of Allah. He said so, yarhamukallah. So هذا مما يبطل عبادة غير الله من الأصنام ونحوها. So this reality, this truth, that everything is in need of Allah, and that Allah is in need, is not in need of anything or anyone. This reality is that, is from that which, yani, invalidates and proves the futility and the incorrectness of the worship of other than Allah, whether it is the idols or whatever, anything that's worshipped besides Allah. The fact that everything that exists is in need of Allah proves that, yani, worshipping other than Allah is false. How can you worship things which are faqira? Yani, kayfa ta'budu ashya'a faqira? وَتَنْسَى الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. How can you worship something that is in need, that is not independent, is in need, and then you forget about the one in whose hand is the kingdom of everything, yani the sovereignty over everything that exists. And then the Shaykh mentions this incident, وَلِهَذَا لَمَّا قَالَ بَعْدُ عُلَمَاءَ الْكُبُورِيَّةِ لِعَامِ مِنْ أَهْلِ التَّوْهِيدِ. He said, so he mentions the incident that occurred, that some of the scholars from the people of the grave worshippers, some of their scholars, said to a common person from the people of Tawheed, scholar from the grave worshippers, is talking to, yani, a common person, just a regular person from the people of Tawheed. And the grave worshipper, scholar, he says, أَنْتُمْ تَقُولُونَ إِنَّ الْأَوْلِيَا لَا يَنْفَعُونَ وَلَا يَضُرُّونَ. You people claim that the awliya, that they don't have any independent ability to benefit or to harm. Yani Allah is the one who benefits and harms. So you people claim that the awliya of Allah, they're saints and they're holy people and whatever, that they can't benefit and they can't harm. And the point is, because they believe falsely that these things can benefit and harm, so they worship them. They worship them. They go to their graves of the dead. And they make sacrifice. And they give charity. And they make dua to them. Because they believe that they can benefit and they can harm. So they said, you people claim that they can't benefit or harm. The common man, he said, نَقُولُ إِنَّهُمْ لَا يَنْفَعُونَ وَلَا يَضُرُّونَ. Yeah, that's what we say. They can't do it, give any benefit and they can't cause any harm. And then he went on to say, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى يَقُولُ. Doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ إِنَّ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. And don't think, don't imagine for one moment that those, any of the martyrs, the people who were killed in the path of Allah, in the way of Allah, for the sake of Allah, don't think of them as dead. Rather, they are alive with their Rabb being provided, being given provisions by their Rabb. They are alive, being given provisions by their Rabb. Yurzaqun. This is from Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 169th Ayah. Qala. So the man, after he recited this verse, he said to the scholar from the grave worshippers, وَهَلِ اللَّهُ قَالَ يُرْزَقُونَ أَوْ يَرْزُقُونَ. And he, did Allah say about the martyrs who died in the path of Allah, did he say that they are being given provisions or they are providing? And he, are they the people who need to be given or are they the ones who can give? He said, بَلْ قَالَ يُرْزَقُونَ. He said, yeah, they are being provided. They are not given provisions, they are in need of provisions. So the man, he said to him, إِذَنْ أَنَا أَسْأَلَ الَّذِي يَرْزُقُهُمْ وَلَا أَسْأَلُهُمْ. So I'm going to ask the one who is, I'm going to ask the one who is given the provisions to them. I'm not going to ask those who are in need of provisions. I'm going to ask the one who is given the provisions. He said, فَانْخَصَمَ ذَلِكَ الْعَالَمِ بِحُجَّةِ الْعَامِ الَّذِي هُوَ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. So this scholar from the grave worshippers, he was defeated in this debate by the proof that came from a common man who was upon, yani, the fitrah. Yani, who just, yani, he didn't have scholarship or anything, but he just, yani, it makes sense. Yani, if there are creatures that need to be provided for, and there's a creator who's providing for them, who am I going to ask then if I'm in need? I'm going to ask the one who provides, not the people who are in need of provisions. The last point that the Shaykh makes before he last point that he makes before he mentions the ayah, he says, "La yahtaju ila shayin," yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of. I'm sorry, I'm skipping one point. Point number 25 or 24 in English, which is all part of the 17th statement. وَكُلُّ أَمْرٍ عَلَيْهِ يَسِيرٌ. And every matter or every affair is easy, is yasir for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Followed by the point, and he has no need of anything. So the Shaykh says, as far as every matter or every affair is easy, yasir for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, he mentions from Surah Yasin, 36 Surah, 82nd Ayah, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَيَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونُ. Yani, indeed, his affair, the affair of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that if he intends, if he wills something, he merely says to it, be. He merely says to it, be. And then, yani, it will be. This is, yani, the power of Allah. That if he wills something, he just says to it, be. It's simple, it's easy. There's no difficulty. And that's the point here, that Imam At-Tahawi is saying, kullu amrin alayhi yasir. Everything is easy for Allah. For huwa yuhyi wa yumeet. He gives life and he causes death easily. And it's easy for Allah. Yakhluq wa yurzuq. He creates and he provides. Yu'ti wa yamna. He gives and he holds back. Yuhyi al-mawta ba'da fana'iha. Ba'da fana'ihim. And he gives life to the dead after they have ceased to exist. after they perished, after they died. وَذَلِكَ يَسِيرٌ عَلَيْهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And this is easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا يُكَلِّفُهُ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَشُقُّ عَلَيْهِ. Yani he doesn't find any difficulty, and there's no difficulty in anything for him. خلاف المخلوق, as opposed to yani the created beings. فَإِنَّهُ يَتَكَلَّفُ بِفِعْلِ الْأَشْيَاءِ أَوْ يَعْجِزْ عَنْهَا. Yani as far as the created, the creatures, the human beings or otherwise, yani they find difficulty in doing some things, or they are actually unable, incapable of doing some things. Yani there are some things that the human being can do, but with difficulty. And the other things the human being can't even do. As for Allah, everything is easy for him. أَمَّا اللَّهُ فَلَيْسَ شَيْءٍ عَلَيْهِ صَعَبًا. As far as Allah, there's nothing difficult for him. And then he mentions from Surah Al-Luqman, 31st Surah, 28th Ayat. مَا خَلْقُكُمْ وَلَا بَعَثُكُمْ إِلَّا كَنَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا. Yani that creating you all, everything in the creation, humans and other than that, creating you and also resurrecting you, bringing you back to life, is yani the whole of the creation. Allah, it's easy for Allah to create and bring back just like one soul, one person. Everything in the existence, every created being from the beginning of the creation until the end. To Allah, it's easy to create and to yani recreate the whole of the creation like it is one soul. And that's because what? Because if he wills anything, what? He just has to say, kun. It's easy for Allah. The point, the sheikh, he says, وَلَا يَحْتَاجِ إِلَى شَيْءٍ. Allah is not needing anything. Allah subhanahu غَنِيٌ عَنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ فَاللَّهُ لَيْسَ بِحَاجَةٍ إِلَى الْخَلْقِ لِأَنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُ فَهُوَ الَّذِي يُعْتِي الْخَلْقَ سُبْحَانَهُ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is غَنِي. He is free of need of everything. And Allah has no need of anything in the creation. And that is because He is the one who is rich, who owns everything. So He is without need. And He is the one who gives, yani, to the creation, to those, yani, who are in need. The last point that the Shaykh makes, he mentions the ayah. We still have about 3.5 minutes. The last point that the Shaykh makes, he mentions the ayat that we have mentioned several times in the past, in this discussion and previously in other books, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, 42nd Surah, 11th Ayat. And by now, this ayat, yani, should be so familiar to us that we can explain it with ease. Yani, the benefit, the great benefit from this ayat of the Quran, 42nd Surah, 11th Ayat, there's nothing like Allah, nothing like Him, and He is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. This is mentioned in Shaykh Salih Fawzan's brief commentaries as point number 27 in English. It's 26. And it's the end of the 17th statement from the original statements of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi. Shaykh briefly says, هَذَا نَفِي لِلْتَشْبِيهِ عَنِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ. And this, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِ شَيْءٍ, is the negation of there being any resemblance. So anything similar, yani negating that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْكَافِ لِتَأْكِيدِ النَّفِي. And the kaf, yani here, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ, yani كَمِثْلِهِ. The kaf here, he said, is for emphasizing the negation, emphasizing the fact that there is absolutely nothing similar to Allah, like Allah, equal to Allah. And this is similar to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 70th Ayat, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ عَلِيمًا. And Allah, yani sufficient is Allah as the All-Knower. He said that the asl, yani the asl of this statement, and in Arabic, not in the Quran, but in Arabic, كَفَى اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا, that Allah is sufficient as the all, as an all-knower. But the ba here, yani, is to emphasize, yani, Allah's knowledge, and that Allah has knowledge of everything, yani, as opposed to anything in the creation. So the ba came, like the kaf in لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِ شَيْءٍ, came for emphasis. Then the Shaykh says, لَيْسَ وَلَيْسَ يُشْبِهُ شَيْءٌ مِنَ الْأَشْيَاءِ. And there is nothing of the things that exist that is similar, that resemble Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not the angels, nor the prophets and messengers, nor the awliya, nor anything in the creation, anything that has been created. nothing resembles Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Sami'ul Basir. And this is, again, as we mentioned, Surah Shura, 42nd Surah, 11th Ayah. فَسَمَّ نَفْسَهُ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Allah, He has named Himself السَّمِيعُ and الْبَصِيرُ. And after negating there being anything similar or like Him, then He has affirmed that He is يعني, all-hearing and all-seeing. So He says, and this is the closing statement, فَالْآيَ فِي أَوَّلِهَا رَدٌ عَلَى الْمُشَبِّهَا وَفِي آخِرِهَا رَدٌ على المعطلة ودلت على أنه لا يلزم من إثبات الأسماء وصفات التشبيه بالمخلوق فسمع وبصر المخلوقات لا يشبه سمع وبصر الله عز وجل. So the Shaykh says that Allah, after negating any resemblance to Himself, He affirms that He is all-hearing and all-seeing. The Shaykh says, this ayat then, in the beginning of it is a refutation of the Mushabbiha. And in the end of it is a refutation of the Mu'attila. How so? In the beginning of it is a refutation of the Mushabbiha. In the end of it is a refutation of the Mu'attila. How so? How so? The ayat, Laysa kamithli shay'un, there's nothing like him. Who is Sami'ul Basir? He is the all-hearing, all-knowing. Said the beginning of this ayat, Laysa kamithli shay'un, is the refutation of the mushabbiha. So we need to know what's the mushabbiha, right? And the end of the ayat is a refutation against the mu'attila. So we need to know who is the mu'attila. So first, before you answer, who are the mushabbiha? Yeah.
They resemble Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the creation.
Okay, those who claim a resemblance or similarity or equality between the creator and the creation. They said there's some resemblance. There's some similarity, there's some equality. And the Mu'attila are who? Who are the Mu'attila now? The people who do Ta'atiyah, what does that mean? Anybody help us? Ta'at Zakariya. They negate the meanings of Allah's names and His sifat, they negate them outright. They reject them. Okay? So these people affirm, the Mushabbiha affirm Allah's names and His qualities to the extent that they go to the extreme with it and say, well, then the creation and the creator are similar. The other people go to the opposite extreme, they negate because they don't want to say there's any similarities. They say this doesn't have any meaning at all. Otherwise, it will be similar to the creation. So how is this ayat a refutation of the Mushabbiha and how is it a refutation of the Mu'attila? It's crystal clear. Ahmed had his hand up before, so I want to give him a chance.
Because Laysa kamithlihi shay'un means there's nothing that is similar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay, so it's absolute. Nothing is similar to Allah.
And then
so therefore, this is a refutation of the people who make similarity or resemblance. He refused them. Clear statement. Now?
And then, who is Sami' al-Basir, and we also hear and see. So clearly, we share the seeing and the hearing, but it's not the same.
So Allah is affirming in the second part of the ayat that He does have the quality and characteristics that's contained in His name, As-Sami' al-Basir, hearing and seeing. And even though the human beings also can be described as hearing and seeing. So their rejection, their emptying of the meaning of the names of Allah and His sifat, because they are trying to escape from resembling Allah to the creation, is refuted. Because Allah affirms that He does have these qualities. So together, yani, both extreme groups are defeated in this ayat. The people who go to the extreme of resembling the creation to the Creator, and the people who go to the extreme of trying to escape from that by negating the meaning of Allah's names and qualities and characteristics. So in this ayat, the Shaykh says, is a proof that affirming Allah's qualities and characteristics and descriptions does not require you to make resemblance between Him and the creation. Because He's saying there's no resemblance, and He's also saying, and yet you have to affirm that He is يعني السميع البصير, the all-hearing and the all-seeing. So this is a very important ayat. Inshallah, we've seen it before, we're going to see it again. And it's a good brief explanation the Shaykh has given here to make us to see how, if we understand the Qur'an, and if we're not just reading it, like just pronouncing the sounds, but we're actually reading with reflection and contemplation, reading the tafsir, and taken time to reflect on its meanings, then the greater benefit is there, because sure, there are lots of people who read this ayat, even the Mushabbiha and the Mu'attila, all of them, they read this ayat and they didn't get anything from it. They still went astray. So a person has to, so what's the point here? My closing point is the person has to reflect on the Qur'an. It's not just sufficient, you come to the Masjid, you open the Mus'haf and you read for 5 or 10 minutes waiting for the Iqamah. It's not sufficient. Rather, the person has to read the tafsir of the Qur'an and understand these meanings, and then stop and ponder and reflect and contemplate and dwell on their meanings and try to take them in, and then see what are we supposed to do with them, how do we act upon them, what do we believe from them, what do we understand from them, what is our position? Any based on the Qur'an, what came in the Qur'an, what came in the Sunnah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us success in these days ahead of us, as came in our khutbah today. The Imam reminded us that we have to prepare for Ramadan. May Allah give us success now in these days in preparation for Ramadan, that our fasting and our prayers and our charity and reading Quran and dhikr and dua and istighfar and seeking forgiveness of Allah, all of this, we ask Allah to grant us success in doing it sincerely for His sake alone. And that we reach Ramadan, and that we do it in Ramadan sincerely for His sake alone, and that we learn from that. And so that after Ramadan we will stay on that track, doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah alone, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognize, record, and reward our good deeds, and that He pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He grant us al-thabat, that He grant us steadfastness, and that we don't fall to the side like so many people. Some of them, they used to come to the masjid with us and attend the classes with us, and they're gone now. They either dropped off from studying and learning and attending the prayers in Jama'ah, or they dropped out of Islam. Some of you are relatively young, but we have seen the people who are attending the masjids and the Salat in Jama'ah regularly and attending classes and conferences and lectures and memorizing, and they're not even Muslims today. They have left Islam. This is a serious matter. May Allah keep us firm upon this, Siratul Mustaqim, until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleased and pleasing to Him. And may He grant a quick and complete recovery to those who are sick, and shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away, and fill their graves with light, and make them spacious, and admit them into His paradise, and protect them from the punishment of the hellfire and the punishment of the grave. And may Allah grant relief to the Muslims wherever they may be, in the Muslim lands and in other than the Muslim lands. May Allah protect the Muslims, men, women, and children who are being persecuted and slaughtered and murdered in the earth today, wherever it may be. May Allah grant relief to them and from Himself, and protection for them from before them and behind them, and from the right and the left and above them and below them. And may Allah grant them victory over the enemies of Allah and the enemies of Islam. And may Allah compensate those who have suffered. May Allah compensate them in this world, and more importantly in the next life. May Allah grant us all success in these days that are ahead of us, and that He grant us the favor and the bounty of seeing Ramadan and worshipping Him in Ramadan in a way that's pleasing to Him, and completing Ramadan and remaining upon Islam until we leave this dunya. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Couple of minutes over time. Pardon me. So before we leave, we are going to have some refreshments for those who are able to stay for a few minutes, and also for those brothers who are memorizing the 40 hadith. Inshallah, today we're gonna review, right? Okay, and also I advise for myself and for each of you that we review what we have covered up until now as a unit, the points that we have covered, and ask yourself, how many names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did we cover in this section? And how many characteristics or qualities or sifat of Allah did we cover in this section? And how many points of aqidah, related to the tawheed of Allah, related to Allah, did we cover in this section? How much of it did we retain? If I had put that question on the study guide, it would be a long question. So I'll just give it to you orally, inshallah. So next week, inshallah, that's the oral question. Yani how many names, how many sifat, how many benefits in the Islamic aqidah did we obtain? Either that we knew before and we were refreshed, or that we never even knew before. How much did we gain from this first section of Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah? InshaAllah, hopefully, yani we gained a lot. Hopefully we retained some of it, inshaAllah. That we didn't just hear it and forget it. Barakallahu feekum, jazakallahu khair.